My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Seibert, and it's over. 7-for-7. Hail to the kicker.
I didn't think Chris Myers was going to say anything for the very little while there.
You're doing bits over there, Chris Myers.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Commanders walk-off winners on a 30-yard field goal from Austin Seibert. Automatic Austin, good from 27, 45, 26, 27, 29, 33 and 30 yards as the Commanders overcome an 0-for-6 in the red zone and win a football game. Now, the red zone is going to be a big talking point, I'm sure, but I'll tell you what I will take every single week. I will take 425 net yards on offense and 6.2 per play. I will take 215 rushing net. I will take 37 minutes and 32 seconds time of possession. Because as amazing it is that the defense struggled the way that it did, as rested as they were,
yeah,
that's how you win a football game with a bad defense. Don't let them take the field. Keep them on that bench. You see that bench over there?
Sit right there.
That's where I want you.
You stay right over there.
And that's what they did. Ball controlled, short, safe passes, the RPOs, the screen game. Protecting the football for a second straight week. Daniels did not turn the football over. For young quarterback, a big, big deal. That was the formula.
There, so you are 100% right in the sense that this is the tightrope they have to walk, right? Where you go to the red zone 5 or 6 times. I can't remember which one it was. You're going to end up with one touchdown, sometimes two, God forbid. Even if you're bad in the red zone, which Kingsbury's offenses have been historically, he has not been a good red zone coordinator. There's a million reasons for that. I don't know all of them. But I will say that that's a historical trend line and something to watch. Warren Sharp put that in his big behemoth football preview, and that's kind of something I had circled, was how does the red zone go here? You would think having a weapon like Jaden Daniels to help you run it sometimes or some of that read option action might help. You saw that big play right before Austin Seibert kicked that game-winning field goal was, it was a great read option moment. So you think maybe they'll be better in that regard than they've been historically, but that's still something that has to bear out. But long and short, I will take every metric you just said because that's their best chance to win. Their defense is not getting a ton better. I don't think there's a savior there. So the best way to have them play decently or whatever you want to call it is to not have them play. You know what I mean? Is to keep that football for as long as possible.
0-for-6 in the red zone, 0-for-3 in goal to go. Almost as maddening as 0-for-6 in the red zone offensively is on fourth down. Excuse me, not on fourth down. In the red zone defensively, I should say. They allowed 3 touchdowns to the Giants on 3 trips, knowing they didn't have a field goal kicker. I don't know that that necessarily makes it easier to get a stop, but my point is you can play this differently. You can make sure. Let's let them do whatever they got to do, but they're not going to get into the end zone when they get into the red area and high and low red zones because they don't have a kicker. And we saw their punter miss an extra point already. 0-for-3 in goal to go. Giants were 1-for-1. They just couldn't force them to have to try to even decide if they wanted to kick a field goal without a kicker, which made it that much more frustrating, I thought. But let's go to the game balls that we'll give out to the best. Gassers to the worst from yesterday's first win of the season against the Giants.
Jaden Daniels deserves a game ball here. Growth as a passer, zero turnovers. We're going to start talking about this here as the show progresses, but passing is down league-wide. 14 guys yesterday of the 30 quarterbacks that played did not throw for 200 yards in a football game. Gone are the days, seemingly, of 400 yards, four touchdowns, and Peyton Manning setting a record and Drew Brees breaking it the next day. We are in a down passing moment. So he ranks top 10 in a couple categories. He's had the best start of any of the rookies that are playing at this point. And I thought there was legit growth
quite
yesterday.
Quite a distinction.
Well, yeah, one is more than zero. Still, it is a factor. What the rest of the league is doing, I think, is critically important when we're talking about a player. And Daniels is off to a good start. I thought his best half was the second half yesterday.
Yeah, I thought the first half was a mess. Not him necessarily, but the offense, largely with the penalties and the timeouts and everything. And I thought it was a continuation of the Bucs game, which was C-minus, C, whatever you want to call it. I thought he was very good in the second half of the game. So to me, he's played 8 quarters, four halves. He's had one excellent half, and it won them the game yesterday largely. But I thought he was really, really good after halftime because he was a passer first. He was an NFL quarterback standing in the pocket, making throws. He could run if he needed to, and he ripped a couple of those off. But I thought that was kind of the first half of football that looked like, to me, what is the dream when you draft him number 2 overall. But not turning the ball over, to your point. I don't care about passing yards through 2 weeks or where he ranks or anything like that. They throw a lot of screens. They get a lot of yards after the catch. I care about things like, are you making the right decision as to throw it away, take the sack? Are you going to protect yourself or not? And we'll get into that. He took a shot. But I thought yesterday, by and large, that was less of a storyline. Funny to say when he missed a snap, because we'll get into that. But I didn't think it was as big of a deal. It wasn't a 16-carry game. Speaking of carries, though, one guy that did have 16 carries, Brian Robinson. 17 rushing attempts for 133 yards. Brian Robinson, a career day. He had never had a 30-yard run. He did it twice yesterday. Longest run of his career, most yards in his career. He made a comment after the game like, yeah, it's been a long time since I got 17 carries. He got 17 carries a third of the time last year. I don't really know what his point was there, but here's my point. With Jaden Daniels in that backfield scaring the daylights out of a defensive coordinator, scaring everyone on the field, Brian Robinson's about to have the best year of his career, and he was awesome yesterday.
Austin Ekeler, more. We just need more. He leads the team in receiving yards, second on the team, rather, in receptions. He had pretty good rushing totals yesterday, 8 for 38, overshadowed, of course, by what Brian Robinson did with some of those explosive runs, but he was effective when he had the football in his hands, per usual. This right now is their best offensive weapon. You can't overdo it because, you run the risk of him wearing down and not being the same guy in a few weeks or months, etc., but it's hard for me to imagine them having better options on offense right now than Austin Ekeler.
Zach Ertz, 4 catches for 62 yards, led the team. He's second on the team in receiving yards through 2 games. I think he's their number one receiver for the short term here. In terms of he'll be their most targeted guy. He's the guy that can stretch the field. Daniels completed his first couple balls of 20 or more yards this season yesterday, and they were both to Ertz. One was on that kind of 50-50 ball near the sideline when he stood in, took a shot, made a throw. The other was a really nice job by him coming off of his what looked to be his primary, seeing Ertz wide open at the second level, kind of lobbing a ball over a linebacker for 20. No one was around him. He rumbled for 4 and fell forward. 4 and 62, though, I think that's not only sustainable. I'd like to see more of it. Work the middle of the field. Involve Zach Ertz. Take advantage of having a big catch radius, a weapon, a guy who can box defenders out. There's no reason he shouldn't be able to give you 6 for 70 most weeks. I believe when we fast forward a month from right now, if he's healthy, he'll be their leader in catches and yards the way things are developing for this offense.
Go 7 for 7, you get yourself a game ball. Austin Seibert, congratulations, dude. That's pretty cool. A guy that didn't know if he was going to work again in the NFL, maybe ever, or this season, or whatever. Just off his couch, probably at some local high school, kicking it by himself. really, really cool steps to an NFL game, a divisional game, a home opener for a team that ends up coming down to your foot an awful lot. You go 7 for 7, wasn't 60 yarders, wasn't into some crazy wind or anything like that, but every kick that you had to make, you made it. 7 field goals is a big deal.
I'll go one more. Benjamin St. Juste forced the first takeaway of the season on a punch fumble, the old peanut punch. Had 3 pass breakups as well. I thought he played very, very well.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.